It was Dudley who came into money in the summer of 1901. His elder brother Edgar, the head of the family, was the first to be told, not just because they lived under the same ancestral roof, but by reason of the close bond that had always existed between them.
There have never been secrets between us, Edgar.
Is it very much?
Yes.
As much as 1,000 a year?
Yes.
As much as 1,500?
Yes.
As much as 3,000?
No. It is about 2,000 a year.
It'll make a great deal of difference, Dudley.
Yes, it will. I'm not going to pretend that I don't think much of it. I think too much. How is it that our outlook is so material? I thought I lived apart from tangible things, and really I've only been kept apart from them. Well, you can't separate yourself from me on this occasion. All that I have is yours.
Which meant, in practice, the families. The Gavestons were a very united family, living in their now rather dilapidated country house. Edgar and Blanche, his wife, had three grown-up children.
Mark, Justin, Clement, Mother, my dears, your uncle has some news.
What is it? Is uncle going to be married?
No, of course he is not. Perhaps they would like to guess, Dudley.
Oh, really, Mother? We are not so young.
If Uncle has neither become engaged nor been left a fortune, we clearly cannot guess.
You have almost done so, Mark.
Oh, dear, dear Uncle. I would rather it were you than anyone else in the world. Far, far rather than it were me.
I would rather it were me, too.
Can we ask who has left the money?
My godfather. He was 96.
Then we need feel no sorrow. That's one thing.
Is it £1,000,000?
Now, Clement, you're not so young as that.
Then what proportion of a million is it?
A terribly small one. About a 20th, I should think.
Oh, we should not find it so very little. Make no doubt about that.
Then recent arrivals, and living more humbly in a cottage on the estate, were Blanche's maiden sister, Matilda Seaton, known as Mattie, and their old father. Mattie had a companion, a Miss Griffin, and an old friend, Maria Sloane, had just come to stay with her on an extended visit.
I may tell Miss Sloane, may I, Dudley?
I can see that you're going to, Mattie.
Dudley has inherited a great sum.
Here is a fairy tale piece of news.
£250,000.
A quarter of a million? I never heard anything like it.
Neither have I, Miss Griffin. It is about 1/20 of a million, and only a life interest.
1/20 of a million.
About £50,000.
£50,000.
We ought not to keep talking about the amount. We value the thought and the remembrance.
But if we leave it out, Blanche, people will think it is so much more than it is.
I think it is better than that. It will not eliminate planning and contrivance from your life, and it will keep you in the world you know.
Sound wisdom.
I feel very comforted. People may realize my true position, after all.
It was deep sagacity, Miss Sloane. I dare say you hardly realize how deep.
Well, I have not been saying words of wisdom, perhaps, but I have done my best to show my joy in others' good fortune, though others is hardly the word for people with whom I feel myself identified. Contrivance has not struck me as one of the likely results, but if they like to enjoy the poverty of the rich, we will not say them nay. It is only the poverty of the poor which we should not welcome for them. We have that enough in our thoughts.
Words which produced their due effect after Mattie's departure. This was not easy to accomplish. She was by way of being an invalid, and Mark and Clement both stepped forward to help her from her chair.
Thank you, my dears. Miss Griffin will do it. I'm more used to her. But she seems to be having a little nap. Wake up, Miss Griffin. Even our pleasure days have their little duties, you know. She appears to have fallen into a trance. You can't come just for enjoyment when you come with me. That's right. Come along. There is some thought of your being of a little use. You're not quite in the position of Miss Sloane.
I did not know you wanted any help.
Of course I want the help you always give me. I cannot be deprived of the few things I have just because other people suddenly have so much. You need not lose yourself in their experience. It will affect no one but themselves. It will anyhow make no difference to you. That's right, now, Miss Vivian.
Before Miss Sloane leaves, here is my chance to ask you all, would it be right to give some money to Mattie? Would she dislike me more for keeping it or giving it? Both are such disagreeable things.
And you must do one of them.
It would have to be a moderate, settled sum. It would be a pleasure to Blanche Dudley. May I suggest, I will suggest, an allowance of 200 a year.
Thank you. That's a great help. It is not too much or too little.
What are the other allowances? It does not do to be shy about these things, if we can take them.
I thought 300 for Clement. I'm sure his fellowship at Cambridge does not bring in as much as we would wish. And 200 for Mark. As the eldest, he has an interest in the house, which I shall help you to repair. But only 100 for Justine. She will not spend it on herself, but on her pet charity, the old men and women in the village. The rest, to be for myself. To dole out as I please and earn gratitude and be able to call the tune. How despicable it sounds, and how I do like it.
One thing I say, one stipulation I make. Uncle shall feel free to break off these undertakings at any time, to stand as fully apart from them as if they had never been made, at any hint of demand from his own life.
Well, that goes without saying, dear.
Oh, no, it does not, Mother, and therefore it shall not on this occasion.
It is well to have it said once. We will all remember it has been said.
Thank you, Father.
It may be a wise condition. You may live to be glad of it.
Not so glad as I feel now, to be doing things for others and earning gratitude.
Dear Uncle.
Perhaps I may escort you home, Miss Sloane.
Oh, thank you. But I'm sure you ought not to trouble yourself.
Uncle has not done anything for Miss Sloane yet. Of course, she is not one of the family.
Perhaps he means to. It seems a pity that anyone should be left out.
A year later, and how different it all was. In the winter of 1901, Blanche died, mourned by all the family. Everyone expected this sad loss would draw the brothers ever closer together, but the following summer, Dudley became engaged to Maria Sloane. Justine's stipulation with regard to the fortune had come home to roost.
Now, Uncle, it goes without saying that it is yours, that which you gave us in your generosity when it was yours to give. Now it belongs to another, and we are glad that there's the nearer claim.
What about your old men and women in the village?
I shall give them what I gave them before, the work of my heart and my head.
What does Mark feel about the house?
Am I so much worse than Justine?
I should think you must be rather worse. Anyone would be. And it is on the weaker person that the greater sacrifice falls.
Sacrifice? Oh!
Mark has not told me that he will like to see the house decay. I wish he would.
I can tell you how glad I am to have parts of it saved, and the parts in most danger, and how glad to feel that you will have a home of your own.
We have savored the money to the full, but not as much as we shall savor the sense that you're using it for yourself.
I do not like the sound of that. I want to eat my cake and have it. I think that is what people want with cakes. I shall have to be like people. I cannot avoid it.
You cannot. You are caught in the meshes of your own life. It has come at last.
You don't think I am old, do you?
Not at all. You are in time to give your full prime to her who has won it.
And some people always have a touch of youth about them.
Yes, and you are one of them.
Thank you. I think that is all. And yet I feel there is something else. Oh, Clement has not told me that he is pleased to give up his allowance.
It goes without saying, Uncle.
I see it will have to. And I am taking everything and giving nothing. That is terribly like people. I have so often heard it said of them.
Uncle, you must go and say goodbye to Maria. The trap is waiting.
I feel I am just the person who should not be going away.
Courage. Absence makes the heart grow fond, and we will keep an eye on her for you while you attend to everyone's business.
If absence really does that, then I will go and say goodbye to her at once. Goodbye, Justine.
Goodbye,
goodbye,
Uncle.
Goodbye, Mark. Goodbye, Clement. Goodbye,
goodbye,
Uncle.
Goodbye, Uncle.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Isn't he going away for rather long?
Well, there is so much to be done. He has Aunt Mattie's affairs to attend to as well as his own. These things take time.
There is that to be said for academic life. They are all done for one.
Well, we must face the truth. Uncle has lost himself heart and soul in Miss Sloane. We must face it, accept it, and welcome it. Anything else would be playing a sorry part.
Yes. He has to take a house and do the part of an engaged man. He will have expenses.
We shall have to see that we have none.
And quite time, too, if it makes us feel like that.
Make an end of your selfish complacence. You are giving up nothing.
No, it is your old men and women who are the sufferers.
Not at all, Mark.
Things like that ought to be guaranteed or not given. People can't have credit for giving things just while they do not want them.
Uncle asked no credit.
No, but he had it. And we shall have none for giving them up just when we are becoming dependent on them. Is Aunt Mattie to give up her money?
No, that is to remain as it is.
Mm.
What will Father do now? There will be no one to be with him.
Oh, is that ever out of my mind? Does anything matter beside our real problem? We can snap our fingers at any other.
Yes, we see you can.
We must all do our best.
Come. Come to the window.
Hmm?
Perhaps the answer to our question is here.
Father and Uncle on the terrace with Miss Sloane.
With Miss Sloane walking between them, an arm to each. Is that our solution? Is it unfolding itself before our eyes? Is that the lifting and laying of our fear, the final token of the future?
You build rather much on it.
I feel it is symbolic, emblematic of the future. Father's future, of course.
Of course. No one else has one.
Now Uncle is going, leaving them together. Look at that and keep it in your heart. Is not Uncle sharing everything, even as Father shared it?
Uncle has his own ways of sharing. He may withdraw it at his pleasure.
Even their married lives at the disposal of each other. And now Father and Miss Sloane are walking in step. Is that not prophetic? I choose to see it so.
May you be able to abide by your choice.
The children are watching.
I cannot blame them. I would watch myself.
Mm-hmm. I know my children so little. My brother's taken too much of my life, and you will not find that hard to understand. I must use the time I shall have to myself to get to know my children.
You may find that you know them better than you think. It must be difficult to live with people and not know them. Anyhow, young people... Have you often been surprised by these?
I think perhaps I have not. I think they're themselves under any test. And if I have not served them much, I've made little demand. Might speak better for me if I had.
Justine will solve many problems for you and will make none.
Perhaps that in itself may be a problem.
You do not often find people good all through as she is.
You like my Justine?
I like good people. I never think people realize how well they compare with the others.
You have thought about people.
I have been a great deal alone, and perhaps thought more than I knew. I should have learned more by meeting them.
You must help me, if Dudley will let you. And I see that he will.
I will, if I can. I have been afraid of coming between you.
You can hold us together from there. Dudley has put you between us. I do not know what I should do if he had not. It helps me to face the future, to face my double loss. I feel there is something, someone in the place.
I understand.
It was autumn before Dudley returned. He was greeted only by Jellamy, the butler. Edgar met his brother standing formally at Maria's side.
Dudley, I must say what I must. Everything comes from me. You must hear it from my lips. Maria wishes to be released from you and has consented to marry me. We would not continue in a lie to you for a day. I cannot ask you to wish us happiness. But I can hardly believe, with my knowledge of you, that you will not wish it. And I can say that I wished it to you, when it seemed that things were to be with me as they are with you.
So, I am to be a hero. Well, it will suit me better than it would most people. Much better than you, Edgar. I see how unheroic you are. And I return to my life of living for others. I don't think that they've really liked my doing anything else. And I shall keep you both, instead of giving up one for the other. I expect that is what you've been saying. It sounds an improvement, but I shall not let you think it is. I must have some revenge for being put in this position. I shall look so foolish standing aside in a simple renunciation.
You will indeed keep us both.
I ought to have thought of this myself. It would have come better from me. It doesn't come at all well from you, Edgar. I wish I could have the credit of suggesting it. I suppose I can't have it. We can't pretend that it did come from me.
It did, in a way, Dudley. You gave us so full a share of each other.
And you have both taken a larger share than I meant. It will give me a great hold on you both. I'll go and tell Justine and the boys that I am to remain in their home. I suppose you do not wish me to leave it. You don't feel as guilty before me as that. They will betray their pleasure at the news, and I suppose that will be balm to my sore heart. They would rather have me than you, Edgar. I suppose I have really been the only father they have known. It is a good thing that you have not to face this ordeal. You will be quite unequal to it. You have been very awkward in this last scene. I see what people mean when they say that I am the better of the two.
So do I, Dudley.
I wonder what the children will say.
Oh, Edgar.
Yes, Jeremy?
Miss Seaton is asking for Miss Sloane, sir.
Ah. Would you like me to... I will stay if you wish, Maria.
No. Show her in, Jeremy.
Very good, madam.
She is my friend, and I am used to her way of putting things. And I think you should go to Dudley.
Yes. Yes, indeed. As you wish, my dear. Yes. Yes.
Miss Seaton?
Well, Mattie, you see the guilty woman.
I see a poor, tired woman who could not help her feelings any more than anyone else. I began by liking Edgar the better of the two brothers, and Blanche liked him better, too. So, if you do the same, both she and I ought to understand. And I feel she does understand somehow and somewhere, my dear, generous Blanche.
I am not troubled by its being a second marriage. That has its own different chance. Nor about having made a mistake and mended it. But I wonder how things will go, with me at the head and Edgar's children living under a different hand. It does not seem enough to resolve to do my best.
Oh, perhaps Justine will take most of it off you. She may remain, in effect, the head of the house, and things will not go far awry while she is there.
Oh, she will not do that. Her father would not wish it. And she is the last person to feel against him. And I must set her free to enjoy her youth.
My poor sister. How ready people are to enjoy things without her. But you will not have much freedom for yourself.
I shall give up my freedom. I have had enough, and I have made no use of it.
Oh, sorry, Miss Sloane.
Ah, Justine.
No, stay there. Miss Sloane, stay there. That is the chair which will be yours. Remain in it and get used to your place. Father will sit opposite, as he always has. There has to be the change, and we will take it at a stride. It is best for everyone.
Yes, you do welcome it, dear.
Now, Aunt Mattie.
Now what, dear?
Already.
Already what? Already I face the change in the house? But that is what you said yourself. You called out your recommendation from the door. Well, it is the replacement of one dear one by another. It is good that they are both so very dear. Ah, Miss Griffin, where have you been? I wanted you to take my shawl.
Master Mark and Master Clement have been helping me find somewhere to put your coat to dry. As you said...
Here, take it, and now suppose you run away and find something else to do.
What a long morning this has seemed.
Yes, Mark, I suppose it has, dear. It has taken you from one chapter of your life into another. It has been a long one to me, too.
Be patient, Auntie. Luncheon will come at the usual hour.
I seem to have lived through so much in the hours I have sat alone. I have gone with you through every step of your way.
I don't think Miss Sloane minds our talking about it. She knows what is in our minds and that we must get it out before we leave it behind.
And she knows she is fortunate that it can be left.
It will fall behind of itself.
Ah, here come those two. Now, this is what I used to envy my sister in her daily life. The sight of Edgar and Dudley moving about her house as if they would move together through the crises of their lives.
I don't wonder that you are all ill at ease. And I must embarrass you further and tell you that you will have your money back again. And you will have it after you have proved that you could give it up. It is just the position one could choose. And I have simply proved that I could take it back. What do you think people will think of me? Will they despise me for being rejected? I do not say jilted. A vulgar word could not pass my lips.
They will think what they always have of you, Uncle.
That I am second to my brother. Oh. Well, they must think that. Do you think a vulgar word could pass their lips?
I am sure it could not in connection with you.
It is a good thing. And as I am still well off, people won't entirely despise me.
You are many other things, Uncle.
They are not the kind of things that people would see. People are so dreadful. I am not like them, after all.
Edgar, I have been thinking that I must be making my plans. Come a little nearer. I cannot shout across that space, and I cannot get up and come to you, can I? The wedding will be my business, as Maria's home is with me. And I think I can make the cottage serve our needs. You will like a simple wedding with things as they are, and it cannot be for some months.
I shall know about such things when I am told.
I thought we ought to save you that, Aunt Mattie. It doesn't seem that it ought to devolve on Mother's sister.
Why, you are not sparing yourself, dear, and you are her daughter. I shall be doing what I have done before for your father. It is fortunate that I am so near. And I think we need not be troubled for your mother. If we feel like that, this should not be happening. And she will go forward with us in our hearts.
No, she will not go forward. We shall, and she will not.
Her wishes and her influence will go on.
They may, but she will not do so. She has had her share. What it has been?
We cannot serve the past, only fancy that we do so.
Only remember it.
I am quite happy about what she would feel.
Then why does Aunt Mattie not show it?
I shall be best man. I think that people will look at me more than Edgar. I shall be a man with a story, and he will be one who is marrying a second time. And the first is much the better thing.
You need not worry about any of it. People's memories are short. They too will feel that they cannot help what is gone, and they will not waste their interest. You will soon be a man without a story again.
Miss Sloane, what has your life been up till now? We may as well know that piece of the past.
The man whom I was going to marry died, and I did live in the past. It may not have been the best thing, but it seemed to me the only one.
Then long live the future. Long live the future and the present. Let the dead past bury its dead. Yes, I will say it and not flinch. It is better and braver that way. Mother would feel it so. Shall we go into luncheon, Father?
That's right. Now, little boys, help me up.
Give me your arm, my dear.
Thank you.
Well, Miss Griffin, you and I have more than ever in common.
How is that, Mr. Dudley?
People think too little of both of us. I have been rated below my brother, and I am wondering if it will add to me to accept the view.
We don't all think you are below him.
Most people do, and I expect I shall accept the judgment of the many, though it is known to be a silly thing to do. I'm glad you are not so foolish.
I am not indeed. I mean, I don't accept it.
It is extraordinary how people put things to themselves. I dare say my brother thinks he is saving me from a loveless marriage. I will tell you something that I have told no one else. I think it is ordinary of Miss Sloane to prefer my brother to me. It already makes me like her the less. Our marriage might not have been loveless, but I think our new relation might be. It seems obvious to choose the eligible brother.
Is he more eligible? A widower with a family? Everyone would not say so.
Perhaps he is not. Perhaps she really does prefer him to me. Then that makes me like her less still. I'm glad she is making a bad match. Do you like her?
I did very much until...
Until you heard she had rejected me. So she has lost some of your affection and mine in the last hours. There is no gain without loss. And I shall make the loss as great as I can. That sounds unworthy, but it is natural. We really only want one word for natural and unworthy.
Miss Griffin, will you bring my shawl? Oh,
there is Miss Seaton. I am coming, Miss Seaton.
The wedding passed off like any other, Dudley in particular providing a faultless example of how to do a difficult thing well. On a winter afternoon, the bride and groom returned from the honeymoon. Justine had arranged a family tea party, but had not invited Mattie. They had hardly sat down when they heard a trap drive up to the house.
It's Aunt Mattie.
Is she not expected?
Well, not until dinner, Father. I thought it was all arranged.
Perhaps she has come to welcome us.
She has come for no other reason.
She comes.
Aunt Mattie, we did not know you were coming, or we would have sent for you.
You asked me to come, dear. I should have done so, of course. But you did remember the formality. But it was for dinner that you said. I did not know that they were expected so early. I only found out by accident.
No, we did not mean to give a wrong impression.
No, dear. But you said for dinner, I think.
We thought they would have a rest and that you would see them later.
Have a rest, dear. Maria never rests in the day.
I am finding all this a rest.
I think I will have some tea, Justine, dear. Or I might remember that I was only asked to dinner.
Really, Aunt Mattie, I shall not reply to that.
I am afraid I am pouring out the tea.
Are you, dear? I thought you were having a rest and that Justine would still be directing things. I've had no directions except from her.
You could not have them from me until I returned.
No, no, Aunt Mattie. You will not make bad blood between Maria and me.
Bad blood, dear? I did not think there was any question of that. I'd put the thought away. I'm sure there is none any longer. I'm sure that all the little pinpricks and jealousies have faded away.
Justine does not know what such things are.
Well, I said they had faded away, and that amounts to the same thing.
It is on the way to the opposite thing.
Oh, dear father. He has come back to his only daughter.
Well, am I to have any tea?
When you stop holding everyone rooted to the spot, aunt, as long as they are petrified, they cannot give you any.
Well, I must lift my spell. I did not know it was so potent. Some people have more power than others and must be careful how they wield it. Thank you, Dudley. And a penny for your thoughts.
I was thinking that I had never made a speech which carried a sting.
Yeah, I was wondering when we were going to hear your voice. I've never known you so silent.
I recognize the sting. I almost think that the gift of speech is too dangerous to use.
What shall we do without your talent in that line?
I believe that is a speech. Without a sting.
Oh, Aunt Mattie, if you would only do it oftener, you don't know how far you could go.
Don't I, dear? I sometimes think I should be left in a backwater. I admit that I sometimes feel driven to apply the goad.
It must be a trying obligation.
If you can manage without it in your ready-made family, you are fortunate.
I see that I am.
And we all see that we are.
I am sure. I hope we have many happy days before us.
Oh, I shall so enjoy sharing the household cares tomorrow. No housewife ever parted with her keys with less of a pang.
You will give what help you can.
No, I shall not, Father. Oh, I know it sounds perverse, but a house cannot do with more than one head. I go free without a qualm. Yes, I am a blunt and downright person. People have to take me as I am.
Yes, we do, dear.
Maria, what do you think of our family? It is a full experience for you on your first night.
It is better not to have it delayed, and I must think of myself as one of you.
Well, it is a strange chapter that I have lived since I have been here. A strange, swift chapter, or a succession of strange, swift chapters. If I had known what was to be, might I have been able to face it? And if not, how would it all be with us? How we can think of the might have been.
There are no such things.
We cannot foretell the future. It might make us mold our actions differently.
And then how would it all be with us? Maria not here, Justine not deposed, nothing between your father and uncle. Everything so that my sister could come back at any time and find her home as she left it.
Is it so useful to have things ready for her return?
It's hardly a dependable contingency.
No, I am not going to join.
So my little flight of imagination has fallen flat.
What fate did it deserve?
Did you expect it to carry us with it?
What do you say to the reception of a few innocent words, Dudley?
I have never heard baser ones. Have you a chill, Mattie?
I felt a chill then. There seemed to be one in the air. Perhaps I ought not to have come today, sunk as I was in the sadness of this return.
It was certainly not wise to come with no other feeling about it.
I will make haste to go and lift the damper of my presence. I feel that I have been a blight, that your first evening would have been better without me. My father sets me an example in avoiding the effort destined to fail.
How is your father?
He is very old and tired, but that is not to the point. I thought I could follow Dudley, but I can't quite do it today. Today I must go away by myself and be alone with my memories.
Very well, then. Go if you must.
What does my hostess say?
Oh, of course, I should not have spoken for her.
Justine has said the only thing that can be said.
Well, I will go. I will leave the feast. There will no longer be the death's head at it. I shall be easier when I'm not that.
Children, see your aunt out.
Of course, Father. Aunt right, Mattie, then. My arm.
Thank
there.
You, my dear.
Aunt Mattie would have been burned as a witch at one time.
Does your voice betray a yearning for the good old days?
And leave us for a while? Perhaps you will leave us together for a short while.
Boys, come along. Come
yes,
along and help me with Aunt Mattie.
We are coming, we are coming.
Does Maria mind smoke?
No, not at all. I'm used to it.
I do not smoke. I never have. I get the cigars for Edgar.
I could not afford them for myself.
I must give you some as a present. Oh, I see they come from some foreign place. Oh, we shall have to depend on Dudley for them.
The young people have given no trouble, Dudley.
None.
You have not lavished too much on them?
Nothing. They keep to what they have.
Is there anything to tell me about the house?
The work goes on. Mark and I have had our eye on it.
Dudley, I have always taken all you had, always from the beginning. You did not seem to want it. Now, if I have taken something, you did
want... Oh, I am a great giver. And giving only counts if you want what you give. They say that we should never give away anything that we do not value.
What is this, Dudley? It is not fair to give me everything and then turn on me as an enemy.
Not fair to give you everything. Do you think it is fair? Does it sound fair as you say it? And turn on you as an enemy? What have you been to me but that? If you have never thought, think now.
So it has come to this, Dudley. This has been before us and so between us all our lives. You have given me nothing. You wanted to have me in your hands in return. No one can give, really. Not even you. Not even you, Dudley. You are not different. Why did you let me think you were? I would not have minded. I could have taken you as you were. I did not want anything from you. And now I have lost my brother, whom I need not have lost if I had known.
You have lost your brother. Then know that you have lost him. Know that you speak the truth. You may be glad to be left with your wife, and I should be glad to leave you. I should be glad, Edgar. I have always been alone in your house, always in my heart. You had nothing to give. You have nothing. There is nothing in your nature. You did not care for Blanche. You do not care for your children. You have not cared for me. You have not even cared for yourself. May Maria deal with you as you are. And not as I have done. I leave you to her.
We must go on as if nothing had happened, Edgar. We could not help it. I do not think we could. We might have seen it had to come. But I thought it would not come with Dudley.
Nor did I. Never.
For Mr. Dudley, ma'am?
No, he is not coming back so early, Jellamy.
Where's he gone? Away for a time, I'm afraid. He felt he wanted a change. I fear that he found the sight of the two of us together too much.
Well, I think it's a thoroughly good idea. Uncle has been attempting altogether too much of late.
He has done his duty in giving you a welcome and feels he is free.
He has taken no luggage, ma'am.
And does that prevent you bringing in the breakfast?
He will be sending for what he wants, I expect. He had to get away at once. Yes, bring in the breakfast.
I thought it might imply that he would be back this morning, ma'am.
Bring in the breakfast, Jellamy, and make no more ado.
Yes, Miss Justine.
You will forgive me, Maria. I can't keep my tongue from leaping out at that man sometimes.
I feel with Jellamy. He wants to know why Uncle has suddenly gone, and so do I. And the luggage is the point. Either he is coming back at once, or he has left in storm and stress.
Don't whisper, boys. Pull yourselves together and remember that we are mere pawns in the game of skill and chance which is being played.
Are we as essential to the game as that? I feel a mere spectator, and it is really a simple game.
Shall I remove Mr. Dudley's place, ma'am?
No, leave it as it is. It is likely, it is possible that he may come back.
Aunt Mattie! Did you come across the snow?
Jeremy, this is too faithless. No warning.
She must have come across the snow since she has come.
You have come alone, Aunt Mattie.
Yes. I have come alone, my dears. I had to do that. I shall be alone now. My dear father has left me, and left me, as you say, alone.
My dear Mattie,
I must be content alone. I must learn another hard lesson after so many. I've had a life of deep and strange experiences. It seems that I ought to be used to them, that I ought to have that sad protection.
Losing her father when she's over 60 herself is not a startling one.
Well, Grandpa's life was over. It was not hard to see that.
When was it, Mattie?
He had gone to bed early, as he was very tired. And I sent up something, hoping he would eat before he slept. And it was found that he was already sleeping, and that he would not awake again.
We cannot improve on that.
Yes, it was a good way to go. He was full of years. His harvest was gathered, his sheaves were bound. For him we need not weep. But I must grieve myself, and you will grieve for me a little.
Dear Aunt Mattie, we do indeed. And Mother would have suffered equally with you.
Yes, dear. That is my saddest thought, that I have no one to do that. But I will be glad that yours is the lighter part. I had thought that my sister and I would sorrow together in this natural loss, but so much was not to be for me.
How was dear Grandpa found? Did Miss Griffin go into him?
No, dear. The maid went in and found him, as I say, as she thought at first, sleeping, really in his last sleep.
Oh, poor girl, it must have been a shock for her. Was she very upset?
Well, dear, I was the more upset, of course. She was troubled in her measure. She is not a young woman. There was nothing unsuitable in her being the one to find him. One of us had to do so, and I'm not in the habit of going up and down stairs, as you know.
And now Miss Griffin is managing everything.
No, dear. The doctor is seeing that everything is done for me. There would not have been much for Miss Griffin to do.
She will feel it very deeply. I dare say she's too upset to be of much use. It is a long relation to break.
Yes. Well, now I must tell you. You will think that I have had a stranger life than you thought, that I seem to be marked out for untoward experience. Well, I was sitting in my little room alone, waiting for the shadows to close in upon me. It seems now that I must have had some presentiment. I've been so wrought up all day. Well, you must have had your glimpse of it. And it was found that Miss Griffin had left me, that my old friend with whom I had shared my life for 30 years had vanished and left me alone in my grief. Well, what do you think of that for an accumulation of trouble, for what the Greeks would have called a woe on woe? I seem to be a person born for trial by flame. I hope I may emerge unscathed.
But when did Miss Griffin go? Did anyone know when she went? Did she simply disappear?
Well, I must try to answer all those questions at once, but I only know what I've told you. I was sitting alone in the parlour, as you call it, finding the time rather drag as it moved on towards my trouble, and I seemed to need the sound of a human voice. And I opened the door to the house. Miss Griffin had run into the garden on some pretext that I had sent her out or something. You know, I left you rather out of sorts. Things here had upset me. And I found that my old friend had left me. Well, we won't say alone in my grief, for Father had not then died. Alone in a dark hour. And what do you say to that for a sudden revelation? I won't say that I have nourished a viper in my bosom. I won't say that of Miss Griffin, who has been with me through so many vicissitudes. I will just say, well, I will say nothing. That is best.
I don't think we can say anything either. We must find out where she has gone unless she returns very soon. But in the meantime, tell us how you are yourself and if you are staying here for the time.
Well, it is to Maria that I must answer that question.
Answer it as a matter of form, because I must remain with you. I cannot go back to that house alone. My father meant me to stay here after he died, and so did my sister, and I shall follow what I can of their wish. So the formal question is answered, and I can settle down in as much content as I can, in as much as will prevent my being a damper on other people.
We will do all we can for the sake of the past, for your sake. Maria will do it with us, as she will do everything.
And we hope that Miss Griffin will come back and be with you, Aunt Mattie. I cannot imagine the two of you apart.
Cannot you, my dear? I've had to go a little further. You see, I am having the experience. But shall we leave my prospects to the future, as we cannot in the present say much for them?
The only prospect we can offer Aunt Mattie this morning is breakfast.
Here is a place all ready for you.
Is there? How does that come to be? Had any news reached you? No, you were unprepared.
It is Dudley's place. He has followed Miss Griffin's example and left us for a time.
Has he? Dudley. Has he run away and left you? Do we all manage to make ourselves impossible to those near and dear to us? Is it a family trait? Well, we can all assure each other that our bark is quite wrongly been taken for a bite.
Barking may be enough in itself. It may not encourage people to wait for the next stage.
I think Miss Griffin waited and was bitten.
Yes, it is Miss Griffin, isn't it? Miss Griffin who takes the thought and takes the interest.
I think we ought to find out where Miss Griffin has gone. I do really think so, Aunt Mattie.
Yes, dear, I said she would be in your minds. And I think as you do. I shall be so glad to know where she is when you can tell me.
I suppose we have no clue at all?
That I do not know, dear. I have none.
You have no idea where she might have gone?
None, as she has not come here. I had a hope that she might have. I'm so used to finding the house a refuge myself that I did not think of her being perhaps struck by it differently.
Has she any home?
Her home has been with me. I know of no other.
She has no relations she could go to.
She has relations, no doubt. But you see, to them she would be, as you say, a relation. It is to you that she is the person outside the family.
Has she no friends in the neighbourhood?
She has those to whom you may have introduced her. She can have no others.
We have no clue either to my brother's whereabouts. It's a strange fashion, this silent disappearance. We must try to get on the tracks of them both. Was Miss Griffin prepared for going? It is very cold.
As far as I know, she went out into the garden without hat or coat or anything. The action was sudden and unpremeditated, and she will probably be back at any time. Or she may be back now, in which case my father's death will have been a great shock to her.
Did she wander in the garden without hat or coat in this weather?
Take care. Aunt Mattie must have driven her out, and if she freezes or starves or dies of exposure, and it seems she must do all those things, she will be better off than she has been.
She cannot have gone far. We could send someone to drive about the country and look for her. We had better do it at once.
May I interpose, ma'am?
Yes, if you have anything to tell us, Jellamy.
Mr. Dudley and Miss Griffin were observed to be walking together last night, ma'am.
Oh, they were together? That is a good thing. How did you hear?
The information came through, ma'am. The authority is reliable.
Does he give any further information?
Mr. Dudley took Miss Griffin to the inn, sir, for shelter.
And did he stay there himself?
No, sir. He went out again into the night.
And did he go out prepared for the weather? Did you have notice of his going? Oh, tell me it all, as I have told you. We must not deal differently with each other.
We will tell you, Aunt Mattie. We admit that he went suddenly and that we do not know the manner or the wherefore of his going.
Mr. Dudley was sufficiently equipped for the weather, ma'am. Miss Griffin was perceived to be wearing his coat when they were observed together.
Was she? Then he was no longer in that happy state. We can keep our anxiety to him. Miss Griffin no longer requires it. What about scattering some coats and hats about the road for people to pick up who have fared forth without them? It is really a funny story. Somebody from the large house and somebody from the small running away into the weather without a word or look behind. Well, people must strike their own little attitudes. I suppose we are none of us above it. But I cannot imagine myself choosing to posture quite like that. And if I'd had to pick on two people to scamper off into the snow with one coat and hat between them, I should not have pitched on Dudley and Miss Griffin. It was a good thing that the coat belonged to Dudley. If they were to wear it in turn, he could not have got into hers.
I have heard better jokes. The weather is icy cold, and one coat is not enough for two.
I wonder who was wearing the hat.
Miss Griffin was perceived to be wearing a shawl about her head.
Oh, what a picture! It sounds like a gypsy tableau. I wonder if they intended it like that.
If you will excuse me, ma'am, I think there may be...
I know that Miss Griffin has plenty of hats in her cupboard. Some of them I have given her myself. What can be the reason for this sudden masquerade?
Perhaps she had none in the garden, ma'am.
I am going to end this talk. Your aunt is more tired than she knows and must go and rest. And when I come down, your father and I will go to the library and you can have a time without us. What now, Jellamy? What is it?
Mr. Dudley has been found, ma'am. He walked about all night in the snow and is lying very ill at a farmhouse.
Dudley was in fact so ill that it was weeks before he could even be moved to his brother's house. His faithful nurse during all this time was Miss Griffin, who told a very different story about her parting from Matty.
She came back from the house very early and very upset. I could hardly speak to her. Nothing I said was right, and she did not like it if I did not speak. Oh, it was no good to try to do anything. Nothing could have made any difference. Mr. Seaton had gone to bed, and we were alone. At last she flew into a rage and turned me out of doors. She said it drove her mad to see my face. I could not go back. I shall never forget that waiting in the cold. I don't know what would have happened if you had not come.
You and I are both alone, Miss Griffin. People have not done well by us. And we have done too well by them. We should know how to treat each other. We will keep together and forget them. We had better be married, and then we need never part.
Oh, no, no, of course not. What a thing it would be. We could not alter it when it was done, and of course you would want to. And what would people think? Oh, you can help me without that. You want to help me, that is, of course.
I was trying to serve myself. I must serve you in some better way. You can think of one yourself. What would you like to do now and in the future?
I should like to get away from Miss Seaton. It seems a dreadful thing to say after all these years, but every year seems to make things worse. I should like to have some peace and some ordinary life, like other people, before I get old. I don't feel I want to have had nothing. It doesn't seem right that anyone should go through life like that. You only get your life once. Of course, if people were fond of you, that would be enough. But Miss Seaton seems to hate me now, and I don't know what to do to make it different. I only want to be peaceful somewhere and not always driven and afraid. And to be able to do something for someone else sometimes.
You would like a cottage of your own and a little income to manage it on, and perhaps a friend to live with you who needed a home.
Oh, I know two or three people. I could have them in turn to make a change for me and for them. Oh, I should like it. But I don't know why you should do as much for me as that.
I shall like to do it, and I can do it easily. I shall be the fortunate person. We will arrange for the money to come to you for life.
What will Miss Seaton say? Well, she will soon get used to it and settle with someone else.
What a good thing it is that I am spared. It is generally the valuable lives that are cut off, but I can feel that a real attempt was made on mine.
You helped yourself a great deal.
And heaven helps those who do that. But I really don't remember any help but yours.
Miss Griffin, you really must come and rest. Father has come to be with Uncle.
I am very happy to stay.
We know you are, and we are grateful. But nursing Uncle has been arduous work. And now you look almost more worn out than he does himself.
Oh, then you'd better go, Miss Griffin. I cannot have you looking worse than me. It would give you an immediate advantage.
Dear Uncle, the old note. Come along, Miss Griffin.
The others are coming to see you in a minute.
Good. You have had a long time with me.
We have, Dudley, and more than that.
Am I quite better?
You are quite out of danger.
Did you think I should get well?
We were not always sure.
Shall I be the same as before?
Yes, there'll be no ill results.
And how is our invalid today? I think I may claim in a special way to know how an invalid feels.
We all appreciate that, Aunt Mattie.
Dudley will not be one much longer. He is impatient to be well.
We can understand that enough is enough.
I suppose you will all understand each other better now. People do that after anxiety. I can feel that I have not been ill in vain.
It seems that there ought to be more understanding.
No, people are not often as ill as I was.
How does it feel to be so ill that you might die?
I can hardly say. Perhaps I was ready. I really don't understand about people who are not. I cannot help thinking that even people who die are not as ill as I was. I think they are sometimes surprisingly well, perhaps at their best.
It is the few lucid moments at the last.
Well, I did not have those, of course. It is odd to think that we are all to have them. It does make me respect everyone.
I love to hear him talk like his old self.
Don't you notice that a new note has crept in? Perhaps it marks me as a person who has looked at death. Here is Justine. I think she has noticed it.
Yes, I have, Uncle. It is the weakness of convalescence.
Convalescence seems to be a little like the lucid moments at the last. I may not have got quite far enough away from them.
You will soon forget it.
I shall not. You will. I see you are doing so.
I know what you mean. I, too, sometimes feel rather apart, as I live in my memories and find that other people have lost them. But I would not have them oppressed by what I can carry alone.
I would. I had no idea that I should have to do that.
Did you know, Aunt Mattie, that Miss Griffin is to have a little house of her own? Uncle is to make it possible.
No, dear. I did not know. Well, how could I when I was not told? When was that arranged?
I have just arranged it. It seemed the only thing to do in view of the climate. At any time it might snow.
Well, I am glad. Glad that our long relation is ending like this. Glad that I brought her to a family who were to do this for her. It is good that our friendship should have this culmination.
It was not the one which Aunt Mattie planned when she turned her out of doors. There was no question of any alternative roof.
I am sure you are glad, Aunt Mattie.
Are you, dear? So you accept something that I say?
And I am sure it will be the beginning of a new relation with Miss Griffin. But, Aunt Mattie, what exactly amuses you?
My relation with her, when you have all used her as a sick nurse and nothing else.
Oh, we forgot to ask how you have been managing without Miss Griffin.
Forgot to ask? I would have died rather than do so.
I think I shall die now it is done. If I don't, I don't know how to manage.
Don't talk about dying in that light way. You have no right. You have no idea what it is to hover between life and death. I suppose there will be something in my face now that is not in yours.
Don't let us talk about that time. Let us all emerge from that stage and take more interest in each other. Tell us of your plans, Aunt Mattie, and we will hear them.
Well, dear, I have none as yet, as your father would know. Plans need thought and attention, and they have not been forthcoming.
Try to do what you can about them at the moment.
Shall I, Maria? I've been wondering when I should hear your voice. All these loquacious young relatives of mine seem to overwhelm you.
I have never been a talkative person. Perhaps I have not much to say.
Don't be afraid, Aunt Mattie. Maria can hold her own.
Well, now, I've been asked for my plans, so I must make them and make them at once, so as not to keep people waiting. Well, as Miss Griffin is no longer to depend on me for a home, I must look for someone else who will find it a help to do so.
Ought the next person who is to depend on Aunt Mattie for a home be told that it may be in the garden?
I had heard that snow is a warm covering.
Uncle had not, or he need not have given Miss Griffin his coat.
I like sitting downstairs again. I can't be shut away from family life. It offers too much. to think that I have lived it for so long without even suspecting its nature. I've been quite satisfied by it, too. I've had no yearning after anything further. It is beautiful, family talk, mean and worried and full of sorrow and spite and excitement. I cannot be asked to miss it in my weak state. I should only fret.
You don't find it too much.
I feel it is exactly what I need, somehow.
But you have had enough to be getting on with. We must not overexcite you. Away all. We will leave Father in charge.
Aunt Mattie,
lean yes, on dear. Me. Now, come, boys, yes, come dear. Away.
Can I help Aunt
Mattie? Yes. If you go that side.
Mariah will be a help to us with all of them.
To us. Yes. You knew the word that would go straight to my heart.
Then I can ask you a question, as I know the answer. Mariah does not mean to you what she did.
No. Not even as much as you would like her to. I cannot see her with your eyes. I think that you married her too soon after Blanche died, and that you may never live it down.
I was carried away. I had not been much with women.
I know that Blanche had a good husband.
I think that emotion of one kind, I think it may predispose the mind to others.
Why do some people say that we are not alike? We seem to be almost the same. No wonder there are no secrets between us. I have only one secret left.
Are you going to tell me?
Yes, I am. Because it is proof that I have lost my feeling for Mariah. I have proposed to someone else.
What? You have not had time. You were ill the day after you left this house.
I proposed to her just now. And she refused me. Women do not seem to want me as the companion of their lives.
Miss Griffin?
How affection sharpens your wits. But you should have said, I want you, Dudley. I have had to say it for you.
I think I see that the sun is coming out.
So we can go out and walk, as we have all our lives.
I think we might. For 20 minutes? For a quarter of an hour.
The only difference will be that I must lean on your arm.
The pair went out and walked on the path outside the house. And Justine, catching the sight from a window, rose with a cry and ran to fetch her brothers.